FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have all the reaction to FC United's FA Cup tie with Atherton Colts from Saturday afternoon. And we'll be hearing how the women's team fared in Sunday's league match with West Didsbury and Chorlton. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with Tuesday night's match at Lancaster City, as FC United made it three games in a row unbeaten with a hard-fought 0-0 draw at the Giant Axe on Tuesday. Here's Neil Reynolds speaking with Tim Browning soon after the final whistle.
Neil, we've just seen FC get the first clean sheet of the season. It's a pretty hard-fought point in the circumstances. What's your view?
Good side, Lancaster. You know, I think this is the first game they haven't scored in all season. You can see how much of a threat they are aerially and physically. So for us to come here tonight and get a point to make it three unbeaten, our first clean sheet. And more than that, you know, when you go down to 10 men with 13, 14 minutes to go, lesser teams may crumble, but we didn't. You know, we've got good resilience in that dressing room, good character, and I'll take that. I'm happy with that. You know, get points on the road, win games at home, and you won't be far away.
OK, I mean, I think it's fair to say that we didn't really get going at any point in the game. I mean, from my point of view, there's a lot of free kicks, which didn't seem massively necessary. Your take?
Yeah, I just said, you know, if I'm going to be overcritical, I don't think we used the ball well enough in midfield. I think we had more time than what we thought. We played a lot of high balls into Tundi instead of balls down the side that we did against Morpeth Saturday. And I don't know whether or not their physical approach kind of intimidated us slightly. We had to move the ball quicker. I'm not sure. I mean, you can pick the bones, and I look back at the footage. But, you know, that's me being ultra-critical. You know, on the whole, you would have said to me, will you take a point at Lancaster? Absolutely. You know, they're going to be around it at the end of the season. People won't like to come here. And for us, you know, to go three unbeaten and get a clean sheet, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
I mean, my conclusion at the end of the game is it's a point one. I think they played the ball very much in the air, which avoided the ground, which was so slick. You could just see every time the ball touched it, it picked up pace.
Yeah, and I think, you know, tonight I've gone a little bit more defensive. Dropped the number 10 because I know they played a diamond. Saturday, back at Broadhurst Park, we'll go more attacking. We'll bring back the 10 in and give me two wingers outside and Tundi down the middle. So, but, you know, we'll take that. I'm happy with that, and we'll look forward to the Saturday.
Speaking of Saturday, FA Cup, huge game for FC in every sense. Everybody loves the Cup.
It's magic. You know, it's magic. And, you know, you ask any manager, you ask any team who doesn't want to progress to the first round proper, I'm no different. You know, I'm probably hungrier, actually. You know, I'm desperate to do that. And, you know, I know how much it meant to FC United last time they got there. And I want to be a manager at FC that takes that team into the first round. So Atherton will be difficult, but we'll be ready. You know, we'll be ready.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Tim Browning following Tuesday's 0-0 draw at Lancaster City in the league. It was a better outcome for FC United's youth team, though, on Tuesday evening in the FA Youth Cup when FC United ran out 4-0 winners over Stalybridge Celtic. With a brace from Dylan Blackledge and goals from Zaid Baroudi and Caleb Adenuga, seeing FC through to the first qualifying round. And sticking with the FA Cup theme, the draw for the first qualifying round of the Women's FA Cup took place last week, and FC United have been drawn away to Morecambe, with the tie to be played on Sunday the 22nd of September. But to hear now if FC United's men's team could join both the youth and the women in the next rounds of the FA Cup, it's over to FC Live for Saturday's coverage of FC United against Atherton Colliery's.
You join us here live in the sunshine of North Manchester. Stato Paul's with us for this initial gambit of the broadcast. Got full commentary team this afternoon.
A massive commentary team.
Yeah, minus Swamper. Everyone is here, and I mean everyone. But Paul, FA Cup.
Yeah, it's two things come to mind straight away.
The evolution of the club is such that Mike Donoghue is the only squad player who's played in the FA Cup for us before. That shows you something. There's only one survivor from past seasons in the FA Cup.
And last season, I mean, everyone knows about Barrow. Well, everyone forgets about Barrow. Barrow was a good result, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Brighton, Rochdale, all that. The Chesterfield game here a few years later. We've not really done it that all too often, though. It feels like we've had a few missed opportunities over the years.
And here's an example of the missed opportunities you talk about. In 12 of the seasons we've been in the FA Cup, we've lost 8 times at home, including last season, of course, with Witten. And, you know, that's a pattern we have to kind of break. If we're going to have a cup run, we have to start winning the home games in the league and the cup, because we need the money.
I mean, we interviewed Neil earlier, and he was talking about those pictures that are in the tunnel. You know, it gives them, you know, goosebumps and that.
Yeah, not scoring at Rochdale, for instance. Yeah. You know, I mean, we need more of those moments, don't we?
It just feels like the club is desperate for those kind of moments at the moment. I mean, it's been a difficult 18, 24 months. It would be nice to have an FA Cup run and start to look towards the future.
It would be nice to kind of break the pattern of losing in cup ties, which includes the trophy as well. We've had a poor run in that for a few years. We got to the quarterfinals in that in 2014, I think, was it, when we went to Torquay?
Yep.
And since then we've done nothing, you know, and it's about time we had a bit of a run and got some money out of the FA, because we've given them plenty back over the years, haven't we?
That's right. When it comes to the team we're playing today, Atherton Colls,
yeah,
I mean,
we go back to Anthony Bilkington in 2006.
The whole thing is such a meteoric rise that they've been on, it, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, the manager, the current manager, he's had a lot to do with it, I believe. He's had a very distinguished time there. And like I was saying, you know, Anthony Bilkington, 2006, a teenager grabbing the first ever hat-trick against FC. And look what happened to him, you know. Premier League football with Norwich.
Yes, absolutely.
International football with the Republic of Ireland. And it's like Jamie Vardy, it's a story that shows you that you can go from the bottom to the top.
No, absolutely. What Michael Clegg's achieved here in the last few years,
yeah,
it's kind of similarities with what Neil Reynolds has achieved, because they both won the Dudeson. Yeah. The following year, they both got promoted. So
yeah,
maybe Michael Clegg will be the manager one day, who knows?
Well, you never know. The thing, though, if we go back to the current day, they did lose 3-0 at Bamber Bridge in midweek. And I suspect that the team has been switched around a bit since that result. And I always think that if you've got an FA Cup tie, you want a good result to go into it. And at least we didn't lose at Lancaster. We came back with an honourable point, and it could have been more possibly, but at least we're on an unbeaten run.
What do you make of the Lancaster match midweek? Because it's a clean sheet as well, that's the other thing to talk about, and Lancaster's home form was excellent heading into that game. So
I think Renault admitted he went a little bit defensive in that game to protect us a bit, because he knew what was coming, and to a degree it worked. It did stifle us going forward, and today we're back on our own pitch, and I think I'd like to think that we'll revert back to what we did against Morpeth last Saturday and start playing the more expansive game with more support up front for Tundy, but only time will tell. I don't know how Atherton will set up and play. If they play a spoiling game like Lancaster did, then we're in for a hard afternoon.
Yeah, and well, we should just talk about the teams just before I hand back over to the commentary team for this afternoon. But there are a couple of injuries in the squad. Aaron Morris, proper bad challenge on him on Tuesday night.
There were some shocking challenges, yeah, admittedly, wasn't there?
Chris Sharp is also injured at the moment too, also from Tuesday night. So he's made a couple of changes, but it looks like, unlike Tuesday night, we've got those three attacking midfielders, which is key, I think, in this setup.
Yeah, Linney starting is an important thing, I think, because he creates stuff on the left-hand side. I'd like to see Dodd get more forward. I think that's something that we saw in pre-season, but we haven't seen in the proper games yet. As an attacking left-back, we need to get him forward and linking up with Lenny, because I think they were very, very dangerous.
It's interesting that Curtis Jones is probably going to be going right-back again. Tom Dean and Chris Doyle at centre-back, it looks like.
Yeah.
Obviously, Griffiths, this is his last game before his two-match suspension, or three?
It'll be three,
I think. Three-match suspension. Yeah. Question mark over that sending off. I've not seen it back, but a few people tell me it was nowhere near a red card. He was a bit unlucky.
But if we go back to that early challenge that
Morris copped,
I can't remember the name of the player now, but it was a shocker, and I think the referee could have got a grip on the game in the early minutes with a red card there, and it would have spared us some of the nonsense that went on after it.
Absolutely. Well, just before you go, Paul, any interesting tidbits from today that you'd like to share with the world at this moment in time?
Well, the only thing I can say about Athens Colliery is we played them twice, and both times the away team won 3-0. So we don't want that to continue.
No, definitely not. Not today. well, thank you, Paul, as always. We'll be hearing from Stato Paul at half-time. But we should try and... the crickets on are doing. I do apologise, I'm interrupting people here. But James Quinn's back with us now. And just before we crack on with the actual football for this afternoon, just a quick mention for Tuesday. You've had time to dwell on it and sleep on it. An away point,
yeah.
A clean sheet.
It's
Lancaster away at their gaff where they don't tend to drop points.
Well, speaking to Michael Donoghue briefly after the game, and he said that's that game we would have lost that last season, and I think that it was a solid performance. The problem was really Olabi was very isolated up front and kept very quiet. The steal at the back for Lancaster was pretty immense. So in that respect, but I think basically the clean sheet was very important. They didn't really create much. In the final third, Lancaster and Regan Linney's free kick near the end, probably the best shot of the game really from either side, could have nicked it for FC. So, but I think in the context of the beginning of the season, FC have regrouped pretty well in the last three games, picking up 5 points from three games, particularly beating a strong side like Morpeth. So today, very important though. Yeah. Very important game.
Absolutely, and it's also a welcome return and a big congratulations to Emily Maguire. Hello, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What do you know about this lot? It's all right, you know about as much
nothing.
As that community. It's fine.
I'll be honest. Yeah, well, I've not managed to keep up to date. Yeah, good to get out and get to a game. I'm not sure how many I'll make, but Grandma's here today, so.
Good. but we should hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And this is the FA Cup special, FC United against Avanton Colls. It's Roy Sewell, Emily Maguire, but first, it's James Quinn.
Dodd, cross ball in far post, it goes Dean, heads it down, and it's gone in! Oh, I think it's an own goal. Or is it Olabi? Let's have a look. I think
Dean got the head, and I think Olabi came in on it.
Or was it an own goal? Well. Well, FC. Olabi scores, and apologies for my confusion there. He was just unsighted by myself there, but great header down, great delivery there was the key. Dean nods it down.
Yeah, it was a great header down.
It was an own goal.
But I think that was an own goal from the angle that we can see. I think.
Well, we will clear that up. Perhaps our television colleagues can help us at half time. But FC with a 1-0 lead now.
Played forward there. Wharton comes out to deal with this one. Clears it well. And easily won, though, by Lafferty. And Atherton will bring it forward again. Doyle trying to pressure. Good ball through here. A real chance for Lynch. He scores. And that was a lovely goal from Atherton Collieries. They showed the intent. The ball came forward very quickly. Quick and a great run by Lynch, the substitute. The substitutes have had an impact here for the visitors and a deserved equaliser. Emily.
I mean, I couldn't say it was coming. We were 12 minutes into the second half. And Atherton, it's what they've deserved. You know, they're putting pressure on the FC in all areas. When they're in possession, they're moving the ball forward nice and quick. Like Roy has said, they've upped the numbers. That was a fantastic run onto a good pass, and there was only going to be one outcome.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, my feelings are, you know, the numbers up there. The centre forward held the ball up, you know, really, really well in Tom Bentham. He held the centre half off the ball, created that little bit of space for the forward run of Lynch. As Lynch made the forward run, he just touched the little ball into his pace, one touch through the defensive line of FC, and he picked his mark there with a little curling inside of his shoe shot into the far corner, and the goalkeeper had no chance. It was really well worked and really well executed.
Lovely finish from Lynch. Good substitution, paying off.
Well, he's got that little bit of pace, hasn't he? And if he's coming from deeper areas, you know, a running target's, you know, difficult to pick up on unless it's tracked back.
Ennis now. So, all square in this FA Cup first qualifying round. Fine, and a foul there on Olabi, and he'll be looking to make an impact now. No question about that.
He's not had any sort of ball that suits his style of play, has he? You know, I mean, they've been straight, they've been right at him. You know, defenders, you know, bread and butter. What he needs is, like I said, you know, in the first half, he needs diagonal balls that go in behind defenders, and then it's really, really difficult to pick up.
Ennis, with this delivery, it's a good delivery.
Oh,
keeper drops it! Oh. It's in!
Oh dear. And Dean.
And it's Dean, the man that a brace of goals, and Oliver Byrne making his debut for Atherton, just dropping, not under a great deal of pressure, Emily. And
unbelievable, you know, they've worked really hard to get themselves back into the game of Atherton, and they'll be very disappointed in that. It was a looping ball, it came up high, but it should have really been very comfortable for the goalkeeper. He's made a huge error. He's trying to explain to his defenders there what happened. He was leaning backwards, but he should be holding on to them. He's dropped it at the feet, right in front of the line. Really disappointing for them, but fantastic for FC to be ahead again in this game.
He should take them all day long. Those
really
are bread and butter for it.
Yeah, you won't be happy, you know, you won't be happy with your goalkeeper doing that.
Nicely picked up by Lafferty, good through ball. But a foul by Jones there, just a bit. And they take it quickly to Atherton. So you've got to concentrate here, left-hand side. Ball being brought in field, cross comes, a decent-looking one. And it just saves that. It was it Dean who got a bit of a head on it, or Doyle? But it's a corner now, good work from Atherton there. As Jones was remonstrating with the referee, they got on with it.
I'll tell you what, it's just as well he got a touch on that ball, because the number 18 was sat right at that back post, Kieran Feeney, ready to nod a free header in.
FC work to do, and it comes, it's bobbling around,
yeah.
And it's got in,
it's
2-2, and it's Clive Smith. Well, it all came from Atherton reacting very quickly, taking a quick free kick, putting the pressure on, forcing the corner, and then doing basically to FC what FC had done to them earlier in the game, using the corner ball to get the goal. It's 2-2 now.
Yeah, it should have really been defended better. There's players on the line that should be keeping that out. That's why you put them there. I mean, it's probably a fair result currently, but it's disappointing. So, you know, one mistake, one end, and I'd say that was defensive errors at the other. They should be clearing that.
Byrne takes it deep into FC territory. FC got to defend this one. Got to be hooked on by Elowell. One there, Linney, final chance. Oh, Olabi, can he get on the end of it? Olabi uses his pace. Olabi, great save. Oh, and the rebound was Rundy. Great defending. FC have it. Carney, square ball. Hellowell shoots, it's blocked. Well, heroic goalkeeping, and Byrne redeems himself completely. The ball now throw in for FC United. It's not over yet. Surely somebody's got to go to the throw in, but Hellowell's going to throw it long. Final act of the game, surely. In it comes, near post, nodded on, nodded away. And there goes the final whistle. Battersby with the... It was a fine game, you have to say, and I think a fair result. But at the end there, the first time probably in the game, Owalabi got clear, used his pace, good looking finish, but a superb right-handed save, strong hand.
Do you know something interesting about that save? That
yes.
was actually the first save he actually made.
And he had
not joking, that was actually, because obviously the shots on target,
yeah.
most all of them went in apart from that one then.
A bit higher, the finish from Owalabi. Top corner, and it's in.
Yeah, he had his chance, didn't he? And maybe could have struck it a little bit earlier. That way he wouldn't have given himself as much as an angle for the goalkeeper to get onto it. But, you know, he made it himself, didn't he? He got into a shooting position, shifted it onto his right foot and smacked it across the keeper. That's all you can ask. Maybe you could ask a question of Rodney, who wasn't switched on to actually drive the rebound.
More alert to the rebound.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it. You should always follow the shot in, and I think he reacted too late. He was expecting the keeper to palm it across his box like that, but he should always be in those areas. You have to say, you look around the ground now and you see that the Atherton players, you can see what they've put into this game. A few of them had collapsed to the floor, you know, energy is absolutely spent because they've worked extremely hard to get that result today. You could say that they were unfortunate not to get the win during that second half. I think the second half they were the better team. They came out with more pace, more purpose, putting the ball forward, creating a few more opportunities, and they fully deserve this the replay. They've worked extremely hard as a team.
Yeah, and they're thanking the fans here and all, because to be honest, while the game was going on, you never really noticed them, but when that second goal went in, they all jumped up.
So, well, lots to mull over from an FC, real mixed bag in a way, but I suppose what you'll have gathered from our coverage this afternoon is that what our team would like to see from FC, something for FC to look at, is just quicker movement forward, maybe get your man Owolabi into attacking positions a bit more quickly. But well, a patchy performance, but a fair result.
Well, after the Morpeth game, you know, which was a pleasing performance and a pleasing result off the performance, I did say that I reserve judgment, you know, because I believe that you can't just do it off one performance, and it's consistency of the performances that says whether or not you got through your ish times and you're actually performing to your full potential.
And if any Whitby fans are listening, if you bought your train ticket for Manchester for Tuesday night, well, hopefully you can get a refund because you won't be coming here. FC United will miss Griffiths, I think, you know, in the coming games. I don't know whether he's available for the Whitby game. Oh, well, he won't be because he won't be playing it, but he's an important player in that field. Maybe is he guilty perhaps sometimes of dwelling
overplay
on it and
overplay, yeah, definitely. But I think I just think it's, you can't put the finger on one player. I think you look at the pattern of play, and you know, I don't know. I was going to say it looks as though they're trying to bore their opponents, you know, to defeat. It's not a nice thing to say that, but you understand what I'm saying when you're looking at it.
Well, that's it.
Pass,
I think
after
it's the
pass,
yeah,
after
the
pass, pay,
the pace
after
of the play.
Pass.
It's okay to do that in certain areas, you know, keep possession, and then as long as they can, then inject that pace when you need it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just seemed to be steady pace throughout the whole, especially that first half. It was just steady away, and that was when we really needed to capitalise on the amount of possession that we had. You know, we were taking the ball forward in the wide areas, playing some great little balls to each other. But then we needed to inject the pace to get the balls into the box.
It's five-a-side football, though, isn't it? You know, if you put two sets of cones down, then it looks great. The thing is, you know, you're on a bigger pitch.
Yeah, no,
and
that's it.
And you actually, when you're in those little areas, obviously, it's like a magnet, the ball, you know, it attracts players. Well, if it attracts players into the ball, then the space is further afield, you know, and those are the passes that you need to look at, because those are the passes that get you in behind the defenders and get you in one-on-one situations.
They're the ones Atherton were using during that second half, you know, players were running off the ball in behind the defenders, cutting through the middle of them. And that was the difference in there. But yeah, I think you can take something from the possession that they have. We know that they can play the football, but it's just trying to up the pace, up the tempo, just to have a little bit more purpose about it.
Yeah, purpose and direction, rather than floundering, you know, because that's what they were doing on occasions. And it's, you know, when you've got that impetus, you've got to make the most of it.
Yeah, you certainly do. You want to get ahead in the game before you start playing like that. You want to be, you can be 2-3 goals ahead, and then you can start playing that keep ball.
Who was the man of the match for FC today?
Oh, God.
I mean, Tom Dean, I suppose, he got the two goals, and generally the defence was solid, but obviously...
Well, when them through balls came through...
Who was the man of the match generally? I mean,
generally, I thought their number eight, Vincent Bailey, was outstanding. I thought he was excellent. I thought he... you never really saw him. He did a Dennis Irwin. He was just there when the ball came through. He nicked it off him. He intercepted things. He was up in the air, winning balls in the air in front of his centre halves. I thought he had a quality game. But for FC, if I look at FC, you know, you could. There's a shout for Tom Dean. There's a shout for Luke Griffiths to a point, because. He just let himself down on occasions, you know, singularly. But overall, it's a difficult thing, you know, a difficult one to pick out, that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we'll remain... I mean, I would say, then, in that case, you've got to give it to the man who scored the two goals, even if there were issues at the back.
Well, I'd go with that, James, yeah.
In terms of personnel for FC... is that a sort of best 11 for FC of those fit at the moment? Or
yeah, well, I can only go off what I've seen over the last, say, three or four games, and I would say that is near as damn it. I'd maybe look to... I think Morris could easily keep his position, like, you know, right back.
Well, it sounds as if at Lancaster he really didn't put a foot wrong. And from what we gather, he was just maybe taking a bit of a knock and wasn't felt
well. There's him and there's Chris Sharp, isn't there? They're both carrying knocks, you know, and that's why they were struggling to make the line up.
Would you make any changes from the starting 11 for Atherton on Tuesday, the replay?
Me personally, I'd say no, because I'd use it as a bit of impetus for those lads to go out and. Rectify something that I feel they should have, you know, made certain in this game.
So your first look, Emily, at FC this season. What would be your principal thought, apart from obviously some of the points we've covered, in terms of the ability of the players, from what you can see?
Yeah, no. It's clear to see, like, you know, I've said they're all capable of playing some good football, and it's just the pace of the game that they need to alter. Impressed with. Griffiths, thought he was good. I thought Linney's got a lot of potential there. He's very good on the ball, got some skill, maybe needs to do things a little bit sooner or quicker. But yeah, all very positive outlook from now for the rest of the season.
So we await Neil Reynolds. Be interesting to see what Neil makes of this game. Well, Neil Reynolds has joined us. Neil, thanks very much. Blood and Guts Cup tie, what are your first initial reactions?
Happy we're still in the draw. Not happy with the second half performance. Not happy with the way our defence shaped up.
Mm-hmm. And what it seemed to us that Atherton came out in the second half. They made a change. They had real intent. And in some ways, they looked the more threatening side. Did you feel that?
They made changes. The only difference was that the lads didn't listen to what we asked them to do at half time. Two central midfielders playing on the same line as each other, which entices the first ball for them to go in when I ask them to play on the angle, and they don't listen. So then we can see 1-0. The second goal that they scores, it's an absolute joke. I mean, that's the third free header in the box, which is a matter of time. But I'm saying, lads are just marking pretty. That you get hold of someone, you grab hold of someone's armpit air, you lick them on the face, you do something to put them off and getting a free header. But no, we let it happen, then we drop deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, let's not kid ourselves, the lad got in between Curtis and Tom Jones about three or four times second half. Their experienced centre halves have got to know better. And you can feel me blood pressure through the wrist. I've just given him in there, you know. I'll protect my players when they need protecting, but I can't dress up some of the mistakes in the second half. You know, I'm an honest person, I won't do. I'm not going to make excuses. We're still in the cup, thank our lucky souls, we're still in the cup. First half brilliant. I thought the way we passed the ball, really happy. Second half, too many people going missing, and I'm not explaining black four. I think the front four went missing as well, and I talked about that before the game, about you can't just pick and choose when you come into games. You've got to stay in the game all the time, and that's your work rate off the ball, not just on the ball.
We felt at times though throughout the game that the forward passing was a little bit hesitant. There was times when too many touches were taken.
I mean, you watch us training, you hear me for 90 minutes, two touch, but I've just said to the lads, I said, you go and play your own game. you quickly find yourself in the lower leagues of football. If you want to play your own game, then that's fine, but you won't be playing in my team. And that's what I've said. I say, if you want to play in my team, we play two touch, we move the ball quickly, we join in with the front man, we squeeze the back four, things that we usually do. Second half, they've gone and played their own style of football. No leaders, and I include my captain there, no leaders on the pitch, I couldn't hear anything. I thought the three subs did well when they came on. But apart from that, no, desperately thankful to still be in the FA Cup.
And will I be feeding off scraps again until the very end when he had a chance? Did you feel that was down to him not holding the ball up well, or just wasn't getting...
Yeah, I feel sorry for Tundy, to be honest, in a way, because we know what his game is. We worked on it Thursday night. You know, in large parts of Lancaster the other night, we're putting balls around his neck and we're expecting it. And when you're a front man and you only touch the ball maybe every 5 or 6 minutes, it's difficult to look after the ball. But, you know, how many times did my three behind the one... People say we're only playing one up front. We're playing four up front with two attacking fullbacks. How many times did my three behind Tundy, going behind Tundy, second half? I don't think they went in behind him once. And they typified the ball in the last minute of the game when Tundy at the shot, the ball comes out, we're still on the edge of the box. Brave movement off the ball. People think they know better.
The thing is, I feel with Tundy, I've known Tundy since he was a kid. If he's got the pace and he's got now the top body that he never had, he needs balls in behind defenders. That's his ball. To have him doing running in front of defenders, you're just asking for him to get clobbered. And time after time, he kept getting those sort of balls.
We knew our way in today against Rowlands and Smith. We worked on it Thursday night. I think we did it once in the last minute. You know, and that's it's frustrating. As a manager, it's deeply frustrating when you work on something and lads don't retain it. And I said to lads in the dressing room, you know, the only thing that holds people back from making top-level players is not having the ability to retain information.
Yeah,
not having the ability, not being clever enough to retain information or switching off in key areas. Everyone can play football. They play into one or two. You can play football. You can keep fit, but it's your stuff that off the ball. It's your mental focus throughout the game. And unfortunately, credit to Atherton, we switched off. They stepped up the game. They looked at the most likely side to win it. We've now got a massive task on our hands to go down to Atherton.
I mean, you've got like two centre-backs there that one doesn't know whether to go, one doesn't know when to cover, and if it hadn't have been for Dodd covering round on a couple of occasions then, they were through on another two opportunities, and man on man.
They laughed at me Thursday night when I said 25 years ago you had a rope tied to your arm and you dragged each other around 10, 15 yards or one attack, three drop off. Football hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't changed.
So what you're describing really is more of a mental frailty at the moment. Yeah. And so how do you work? How will you work on that?
For the first time, for the first time, we're four unbeaten. There's lots of positives. You know, we've scored another two goals today. Tundy's got another goal. We're four unbeaten. The mental focus, we haven't done anything different. They've got to work that out. They've got to look. It's all right looking at me, my whites and my eyes at half time. Are they really taking it on? And I said, after 2 or 3 minutes, I said to Bri, they're not taking it on. Look at Griffin Potts' shape. Look at where our back four are. Look at, you know, that's, you go into your own mindset and you've got to come out of that. Good teams come out of that. Good teams have somebody who drill it. But when, you know, Potts' my captain, when he's getting it wrong, he can then can't turn around to go and give it to somebody else. Listen, I speak my mind and they know that in there. You know, they're a great set of lads. They're learning. They've got to learn that side, because we could have been out of the FA Cup today down to their inability to retain information.
The thing is, again, like, you know, I have a little, you know, philosophy. If I ask a player to do something, it's information. If I have to tell him a second time on the same thing, then I'm wondering whether or not he's listening. And if I have to tell him a third time on the same thing, he's out the door, because he knows better than me.
Yeah. Do you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, young Aaron Morris, he's made a mistake at Grantham away, he took it really badly, he's worked on the psychological side of his game, he's come in the last two games, he's been a revelation, he's covered round, he's enabled centre-halves to attack the ball. He's only played the last two games, and at 2021, we missed him today. We absolutely missed him. You know, he got a whack on Tuesday, he wasn't right for today. But we missed him, and he'll be back for Tuesday.
I thought he was your best player.
He was outstanding, but because he'll cover around, he'll listen.
And so Michael Potts is your chosen leader. Yeah. Do you need you need a bit more from Michael in terms of vocal leadership?
Listen, he's my captain. You know, I'll take the criticism, but on the park, Potts, you're me. And, you know, I was somebody's manager on the park. I captained teams 500, 600 games. I'd make sure that whatever the gaffer said, that relayed onto the pitch. I won't go mute, especially myself. And I've said it to him in there. I said, you're my captain. You need to get the information on the park. And if they're not doing it, you need to come over here. You need to have a word and I'll make changes.
Is he a gentle soul then? Is he not? Is he normally a vocal captain?
No, he's a vocal captain. He's got a nasty streak in him and he's just gone in the dressing room and said second half. But I've then followed up by going, listen, let's not stop pointing fingers. All of it in it together. Yeah. We'll all be in this together. You're all, you know, whether or not it's defensively naive, midfield two, front foot, wherever it'll be, we've got it wrong second half.
What are the key things you're looking for on Tuesday then?
movement off the ball, retaining the ball, and not switching off in key areas.
And I'd say quickness of delivery into the box.
The rest of it,
because if you don't have that quickness of delivery in the box, you're getting decision off the forward runs.
I agree. And the rest of it will take care of itself. But listen, you know, Everton have got a certain style of play again. They've got to adapt to the pitch. You know, it's not Broadhurst Park. It's a different surrounding, and we've got to be ready for that. I've just said to the lads, and, you know, if you turn up to Everton and have one moment of psychological weakness to think, oh, this isn't Broadhurst Park, it's a little bit dull, it's a bit, then you're going to get beat. Because Everton were formidable at home last season. Well, they have been for the last 2 years. So we know what tests we're in for. And, you know, you'll see my team selection on Tuesday. We need more. We need a bit more steel. We need a bit more communication. We need a little bit more know-how. And it won't be me dressing up and people being rested. I'm making changes because the second half wasn't good enough today.
You need purpose and urgency. Yeah.
Having said that, the you know, three defeats at the beginning of the season, and it was a test of character for you all. And in some sense, despite the issues we're talking about, you must be pleased that things have settled down.
Delighted. I've just said to the lads when they're having a bit of a ding-dong with each other, I said, brilliant. 16 games, it's all nicey-nicey now. Football matters. Football means the world to me. My weekend's rubbish now. We haven't won a game. And they're feeling the same way. So we've come so far. You know, we're all disappointed. We all know, you know, we all know we haven't got it right second half. So that reaction in there is brilliant for me. Yes, they're a fantastic group. No, I'm not going to go and sign five or six players. I'm going to work with these. That's what we've said. We're going to develop them. Young lads, you know, etc. But they've got to get that side of it. But really happy. They've got real character. They've got drive. They've got commitment. They're gutted about today. I don't think they'll let the replay get away from them, to be honest. But, you know, only time will tell. But I don't think they will. You know, choice words were said in there, and they've got to accept it. You know, we're playing for FC United, and we deserve better than that.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon, and with that draw against Atherton Colliery's, FC United make it into the hat for the second qualifying round draw on Monday afternoon. And to hear now who FC will be facing, if indeed they do overcome Atherton Colliery's in Tuesday's replay, it's over to Ben.
Well, thank you, Cockers. And yes, the draw for the second qualifying round of this season's FA Cup took place on Monday lunchtime. And the winners of the replay between Atherton Colliery's and FC United will take on the winners of the replay between City of Liverpool FC and Warrington Town, with the resulting second qualifying round match taking place, hopefully, at Broadhurst Park on the weekend of the 20th to the 22nd of September.
Thanks, Ben. So FC United with a potential tie there in the FA Cup for the next round. But before that, Neil Reynolds' side must overcome Atherton Colliery's in the replay on Tuesday evening. It's a 7:45 kick-off on Tuesday, and the address for the ground is Older Street, M46 9EY. That's Older Street, M46 9EY. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then tune in at www.fc-radio.co.uk or on North Manchester FM 106.6 FM on Tuesday night.
I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. I said, oh, that's the way that I like it. On the FC Radio.
You're listening to This Club Is My Club right here on your very own FCUM Radio. In a second, we'll be hearing how the women's team fared in their league match with West Didsbury and Chorlton on Sunday afternoon. But before that, just a reminder that the first team will be back in league action this coming Saturday, as Neil Reynolds' Reds will be travelling south to take on Stafford Rangers. Full coverage will be available here on FC Radio from 2:30pm. But if you can make the game, it's a 3pm kickoff, and the address for the ground is Marston Road, Stafford, ST16 3BX. That's Marston Road, ST16 3BX. To the women's team then, and to hear how FC United got on Sunday, it's over to Ben at Broadhurst Park.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Broadhurst Park. You join us, well, it's old school. We're back at the back of the main stand here at Broadhurst Park in the sunshine, as FC United are back in league action on a Sunday afternoon on the 3G this afternoon, hosting West Didsbury and Chorlton. FC United coming out onto the pitch now. This does follow a midweek game which took place at Whalley Range Football Club. Manchester Stingers hosting FC United. That match finished 4-1 to FC United. Before we get to this afternoon's game, might as well have the post-match reaction from manager Cameron Hussein. He spoke to Neil Boo at full time.
Okay, I'm here with Cameron Hussain, FG United Women's Teams manager. We had a cup win on Sunday and we've just had your first league win. How does that feel? Nice?
Yeah, nice to get the 3 points on the board and get the job done. I thought we did okay, but it was just trying to get the off to a good start in the league and trying to get those points on the board, really. So, pretty happy with the result.
Yeah, I think the conditions helped to stifle our free-flowing play a little bit with the wind and the rain. But I think more than that, the width of the pitch, I think, just slows us down a little bit because it reduces some of our options.
Absolutely. I thought, I said it to the girls, we have to adapt wherever we go when we play away because there'll be teams that will try and counteract us in many different ways. So today might have been the width of the pitch and possibly the condition of the pitch, but they're the challenges and the obstacles we have to overcome.
And overcome them we did with 4 goals. Chloe was slightly unlucky, really, probably giving her own goal away, but she made up with it with some terrific saves, though. I mean, it's at least three where she saved definite goals. She was definitely my man of the match for the today's game, anyway. What was your thinking on that?
Absolutely. I saw Chloe and I said it to her at the end. I thought she was man of the match. She was fantastic, pulling out some absolute match-winning saves in my eyes, and it was a bit of a shame that we didn't manage to get a clean sheet for her.
Yeah, I suppose that was the only thing. She was obviously that keen. She was scrambling back for it to try and push it round or something like that. When it hits the post and then hits her and then just goes into the corner of the net, she considered herself really extremely unlucky for a wonderful performance she did put in. But we got the win, we got the 3 points, and that's what we needed for our first one. So moving on to Sunday, are we back in the league? Is it possibly a swap over with West Dids for a venue?
So we are back in the league against West Charlton Dids. Unfortunately, we tried to reverse the fixture, but it's going to look like it's still at Broadhurst Park, but on the artificial turf,
rather
than the stadium. So a different challenge again, different challenge in terms of actual playing surface, but another 3 points hopefully on the board for us.
Yeah, we should be fairly used to it. The girls have been playing on it and training on it for quite a long time. They'll be quite used to the width of it and the zip of it. It should suit them down to the ground, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're familiar with it all throughout pre-season, so it should be business as usual for us. Obviously, it's nice to be in the stadium when we can, but we'll have to make do and try and get the 3 points again.
Oh, I'm sure we'll try just that exactly. Thanks very much, Cameron Hussain.
Thank you.
Cameron Hussain there speaking to the lovely Neil Boo on Wednesday night. First league game of the season and FC United winning against Manchester Stingers at Wally Range FC by 4-1. And so to the second league game of the season, that's taking place here at Broadhurst Park on the 3G. 6 games in 11 days for the main stadium due to various cup matches and youth team matches and women's team matches. So it's out on the 3G this afternoon, and it's going to be FC United to kick things off. Of course, FC United, no strangers to this 3G pitch. And West Didsby and Cholton, obviously we played them last season and in the cup semi-final, and that was a very intense game of football. And here's hoping it's not as intense this time round, and it's plain sailing for FC United this afternoon. Down the line it goes, helped on its way there by Chambers, finds McCarrick, who's now in midfield. McCarrick to Smith. Smith square to Fields on the halfway line. Fields there finds the run of Hooper, who's onside. Hooper now, one touch into the penalty area, shoots through the goalkeeper's legs, and FC United, 18 minutes into this second half, finally beat the offside trap and finally beat Jefferson in the West Didsbury goal and finally take the lead. It's been a long time coming, but there we go. Cool as you like from Hooper as well. And FC United, 18 minutes into the second half in their second league game of the season, finally take the lead. And obviously both full-backs looking, and Fran Davis offering a short ball for Ainsworth. This is obviously a way of dragging West Didsbury forward and leaving gaps behind. Ainsworth now back with the ball from O'Gara. Ainsworth, it's a poor pass though, and well, the FC United, really the masters of their own downfall there. Ainsworth and O'Gara playing about at the back there. Sometimes you can be a bit too clever, can't you? I mean, the passing there, it was a way of bringing out West Didsbury, playing the ball down the line, but there were no options on, unfortunately, so the ball had to go back to Ainsworth. The passing wasn't the best, and I think it was Elizabeth Livesey in the end who managed to capitalise. And 22 minutes into this second half, it's an equaliser, free kick to FC United with 14 minutes left to play, 1-1 the score. Here's Chambers. Chambers with a ball over the top for Battle. Battle, a turn of pace there. Checks inside. Battle, what can she do? Plays the ball to the far post where Chambers is. The ball's not cleared. It's Chambers! 2-1 to FC United. 14 minutes left to play. A turn of pace there from Battle. A lot of composure from Battle as well. And just when you thought Battle was going to shoot, she set up Chambers. The defender had an opportunity to clear her lines, but Chambers was on it. Pickpocketed the defender. Turned on her left foot. Nothing that Jefferson could do with that one. And with 14 minutes left to play at Broaders Park, FC United take the lead once again. Throwing taken down the line. O'Gara wins the header. Hooper brings the ball down. Plays it calmly square to Fields. To Jean. Back to Fields. Out to the left-hand side now to Hartley. Hartley with a long ball over the top. A beautiful ball out from Hartley. Chambers is onside. Chambers passes that ball to Battle on the back post. And that is good night from Broadhurst Park. At last, FC United, I think, can breathe a bit more easily. And FC United, on 38 minutes played of this second half, make it 3-1. And, well, good bit of passing on the edge of FC United's penalty area. The ball eventually gets to Hartley, who plays a great ball over the top. Chambers onside, a calm ball and a measured ball to the back post where Battle was. And Battle doesn't miss them too often. And that is 3-1 to FC United with 7 minutes left to play. Full time here at Broadhurst Park, and FC United been made to work for this result, but FC United nonetheless scoring 3 goals and getting the 3 points this afternoon. All the goals in this game coming in the second half. The first half, very, very close encounter. Westhead's been playing an offside trap, the most effective offside trap I think we've seen here at Broadhurst Park. For FC United, the passes trying to unlock Westhead's been Charlton's defence. Westhead's been Charlton trying to counter FC United when they can, but 0-0 at half time. The second half, it's been a bit more open, but still it's been much of the same. But the crucial things were the goals that came, obviously. Jess Battle on the back post, Kirsty Chambers putting the game to bed towards the end, but it was the goal from Olivia Hooper that opened the scoring early on, breaking that offside trap at last and coolly finishing through the legs of Jefferson, who made a few good saves in this game. FC United, the architects of their own downfall, really, allowing Livesey to equalise not too long after, but then eventually Chambers and Battle combining to seal the deal, and FC United taking all 3 points here, winning their second league game of the season. 2 wins from 2. And 3 wins from 3 when it comes to competitive action under the Cameron Hussein era here at Broadhurst Park. And onwards we go. For this club is my club, listeners. Coming up next will be the post-match thoughts of Cameron Hussein, speaking with our very own Neil Boo. But for everyone here at Broadhurst Park, it's finished on a Sunday afternoon. FC United and Manchester 3, West Isbury and Charlton 1. Farewell.
OK, I'm here with Cameron Hussein, FC United women manager. We got the victory, but we fought long and hard for that one. It was a little bit harem scarum at times.
Absolutely. I thought the opposition came out firing and they were very, very aggressive. And for them, it was such a big game, more than just a game. I thought it was bragging rights as well for them. So I thought we came through and we weathered the storm. But I think we made life a bit difficult for ourselves in the end.
Yeah, we seem to be quite wasteful in front of net with at least 3 or 4 chances that are normally one-on-ones that go in, but we did get it over the line. We started with another great goal from Olivia Hooper again.
Absolutely. I thought we set the standards in the first half and then the second half, and I'm pleased, I said to the girls, we're creating chances. However, in terms of being clinical in front of goal, I think that's where we need to improve. So going forward, at least we know there's a clear outline of where we need to and what's a work in progress for us.
Yeah, I've always thought that I was more annoyed with players if they weren't at least getting in the right position and creating the chances, even if they weren't always put away. And they certainly, well, there must have been at least 10 clear chances. And on another day, that game could have been put to bed like by the hour mark or something with no problems at all. Sam seemed okay after her injury. It looked a little bit worrisome, but everyone else seemed to come through fine.
Absolutely. I think the squad's gelling nicely, and I thought Sam took a nasty knock in the face, so as a precautionary measure we took her off. But yeah, I think our biggest strength is a bit of our biggest weakness. We're creating great chances and we're just not being quite clinical. But however, I'm pleased at the fact that we are creating these chances, so it means we're doing the right things.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do, and we'll continue to do that. And we'll move on to the next game. But we're back in the league away next week.
So next week we've got Ermster Meadows in the County Cup. And then I think the week after we have Morecambe away in the FA Cup, so we haven't got another league game this month.
Right, so we can concentrate on the glory matches of the of the cup. We're obviously defending one of the cups, that would be nice. But it was a good day today because you presided over our 100th league victory.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it's a nice little milestone for the girls, and I think they'll be proud of that in terms of the winning ratio that they've got. And as a club, I think they'll be very proud of the girls because they've set such a high benchmark, and it's great to see. So let's hopefully we can continue that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's out of only about 120 games. So, yeah, it's a terrific ratio. We've pretty much been consistent throughout all the years, and we're heading off in the right direction at the moment. Thanks very much, Cam.
Thanks, Neil. And on that happy note, that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio. If you want facts, then you've come to the right place.